What's up, friends? Welcome to the Applied Training Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Keeney. Music bed. In this episode of the Applied Training Podcast, I want to talk with you all about the three different planes of motion and why I believe that they should be utilized and implemented into any training regimen. And I want to start with the most important one, the one that is considered the meat and potatoes of every program that you see out there, including mine and all of the ones I run my clients through, and that is the sagittal plane. Now, the sagittal plane involves movements going up and down, forwards and back, or flexion and extension of your torso. And so if I were to take a line and divide your body in half through your between your eyes and all the way down to your toes, I would cut the body into left and right. So anatomically speaking, this is what we're referring to as the sagittal plane. And so with this invisible line down the middle of your body, this is where the plane of motion is happening. So these are where the exercises are taking place. So when you're squatting, benching, or deadlifting, you're moving in the sagittal plane. You're going up and down. My joints are flexing and extending. So for example, with the squats, when I start and I'm standing, all of my joints are extended in my hips. And as I come down into the bottom of my squat, I'm going into flexion of my hips and my knees. And then when I stand back up, I'm re-extending. And then vice versa with deadlifts. I'm starting in a flexed position at my torso or hips and then at my knees. And as I pull that weight up, I'm going into an extended position to stand tall. Same thing with the bench press. If I'm coming down, I'm flexing at my elbows and then extending as I come back up. Now I want to start with this plane of motion first when talking about implementing the three into your programming, because I do still believe that it is the most important, it is the most prominent, and it will be the most utilized in your programming regardless of goals. So whether it's strength training, performing for a certain sport, or losing weight, or just continuing to stay healthy and feel healthy, you will be using the sagittal plane a lot. And so outside of these three main movements, you have other examples like lat pull downs, pull ups, rows, any pressing, any chest pressing variation. And you also have lunging forwards, backwards, or in a split stance position going up and down. And so there's a lot of even accessory movements that outside of the three main lifts are going to be in the sagittal plane. I think that with this plane of motion, because it is the backbone of building strength, that it should be given the most attention. And so I don't want to denounce this plane of motion when I'm talking about implementing the other two and the importance of the other two. So take this with a grain of salt with what I'm trying to explain to you all, and take it for what it is in that way. And so with this sagittal plane, I want you guys to think about altering the plane of motion. So when I'm going to do an accessory movement and I've been squatting, benching, deadlifting, I've been doing variations of these for weeks on end, months on end, maybe years if you've been lifting for a while, this is when we can start to experiment with unilateral movements, right? Lunges, split squats, single arm rows, single hand presses, and seeing how well we can be proficient with these movements and then going to the next level. And for me, when I'm training my clients, going to the next level would mean taking them into now the frontal plane. And so the frontal plane is involving lateral movements. So we're going side to side. So again, if I were to draw this invisible line to cut the body in half, now we're going front and back, ventral and dorsal, or belly and back, right? So now instead of cutting between the eyes, I'm cutting between the ear, essentially. And now I have the front and back. So this imaginary line, instead of going up and down now, or forward and back, is now going side to side. So you can also think of this in physiological terms of abduction and adduction. So abduction and adduction. You can think of abduction as subtracting from the midline of the body. So if the midline of my body is a line between my belly button and nose, all the way to the top of my head to the ground, if that's the midline and I'm abducting, I'm subtracting a limb from the midline of my body. So an example of that would be a lateral raise. So if I have dumbbells to my side and I'm raising them up, I'm abducting my shoulders, and now I'm moving in the frontal plane. Another good example of the frontal plane would be a lateral lunge. And so what's cool with this motion, what I like about it, is that you're working on decelerating your movement pattern if you're thinking about pushing off of the leg you're squatting onto. So let me break that down a little bit better. So if I'm starting with my feet together, and I'm gonna ask my client to do a lateral lunge or Cossack lunge, however you want to pronounce it, I'm gonna have them step out with their right foot and squat onto that leg as they're lunging. So they're straightening their left leg, squatting onto their right leg, and I'm gonna ask them to push back towards that midline of the body so that their feet are together. And so with that, I am gaining momentum going away from the midline of my body and squatting down, and I'm gonna ask them to squat down and then stop that and push back towards the direction they initially started in. And so now you can probably get a good understanding of why I usually progress my clients to this instead of showing them it on the first day or the first week or even the first month. And so as time goes on, as my clients continue to see progress, I continue to see them gain confidence in their movement patterns I'm taking them through, this is when I will start to implement these next steps. And so aside from this, with the same example of the lateral lunge, the Cossack lunge, a few things that are going to be an additional demand aside from just single joint movement is that there's a lot of mobility involved, right? So if I go to squat over onto my right leg and I'm noticing that my chest is collapsing or it's getting closer to my knee when I squat down, that could be a limiting factor of mobility, and it could be from the ankle potentially, right? If I'm unable to allow my knee to pass forwards over my toe when I'm squatting down and cannot stay upright, my body is going to find a compensatory reaction by pushing the hips back further and folding the torso forwards, right? And so that can be avoided by maybe having them hold a 5 or 10 pound weight in front of them, so that way it can offset their weight. This is another variable you're gonna have to learn to control for when you're going and moving in this frontal plane with this movement specifically. And so you can get away with lunging forwards and backwards without having to off-center your weight too much, just because we're so good at moving forwards and back. We're walking every day, we're moving forwards. Or if you have to back up because you're too close to someone, you're not 6 feet away currently, and you have to back up. So we're good at going forwards and backwards. We don't usually move side to side in everyday life. And so that's why generally I like to use this with clients that enjoy playing another outdoor sport, whether it be tennis or squash or any other sport really that involves cutting directions or moving in multiple planes. This is where you're going to see extra benefits from. So aside from this lateral lunge example, we have the lateral raise that I was talking about, and we also have a bent over reverse fly, which is essentially like a lateral raise, but you're in a hip hinged position. So if I'm standing tall and I have dumbbells to my side, if I ask my client to bend at the hips, get their torso to start facing the floor, and now their dumbbells are hanging in front of them, I can have them pull the dumbbells away from each other or abduct their hands and shoulders. And now we're doing a reverse fly. And the benefits that you can see from doing this is that it works scapular depression and elevation. And so that's what's nice, is that it's not something that you're going to be getting from doing a sagittal plane press or pull, generally speaking. And so if we can allow the scapula to move freely through protraction and retraction, which is what it's doing when you're pressing through the sagittal plane, we can do depression and elevation in the frontal plane. So this is where you're going to start to see more benefits of shoulder health or joint health when we're, again, experimenting with other planes outside of the sagittal. So again, to reinforce, the sagittal plane is our strength base. The frontal and then the third plane of motion, the transverse, which I'll talk about next, is more so agility, stability, and durability. And this is referring to our joint integrity, our muscles, and the supporting or stabilizing muscles around these giant joints of the shoulder and the hips. So we've got lateral lunge, we've got lateral raises, bent over lateral raises, also known as reverse flies. You can also do shuffling drills. You can also do med ball tosses or passes going side to side. And this is a fun drill that I like to do with my clients if they are doing well with the Cossack lunge, is including a slam ball. So if I have now a slam ball and I'm holding it in front of my chest. Again, my feet are together. As I ask them to step out to the side, we'll say the right foot again. If I'm lunging laterally to the right, as I am lunging out, I'm raising this ball up over my head. And that way, as my right foot lands and hits the ground, I'm now using that momentum to throw this ball down, right? So now I'm moving in a sagittal plane, going up and down with this ball and the frontal plane. So now I'm asking for a lot from my clients. So again, even if you're looking to build power or lose weight, even if you're looking to get your heart rate up, this is a great example to utilize and try. And especially if you have a coach, talk to them about this. Hey, I was listening to this podcast and I heard this guy talk about da-da-da-da-da. Let's give it a try, right? And so that would be a fun example to try. The third plane of motion outside of the frontal and sagittals, like I was saying, is the transverse plane. And this is typically the plane of motion that can be the most butchered, but when done correctly, can have a lot of carryover into building strength, into stabilizing, and building really good mind-muscle connection of where your body is in space when you're moving. So the transverse plane is rotational movements. So we have our up and down patterns, forwards and back in the sagittal. We have our lateral patterns moving side to side in the frontal plane. And now we have our transverse plane rotating side to side. And so with this one, if we're going back to this imaginary line of dividing the body into two halves, we're going to be dividing it into top and bottom, with the pelvis being the line of division. Okay, so I have above my pelvis and I have below my pelvis. And so Dr. Perry Nicholson, I believe I said that correctly, is a chiropractic physician. He put it really well. He said, power exists in the transverse plane. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, because this is the plane of motion where if you're a baseball player or a softball player, all of your power is coming from the rotation in your hips. If you're a golfer, same thing, tennis player, a lot of sports that a lot of people like to play, even if it's recreationally, are involving rotation. They're involving a lot of power output through the hips. And so if we can work on this plane of motion in a controlled environment like the gym, especially if you have a coach or trainer watching you, this is where you can get a lot of carryover into not only your sport, but also, again, control of where your body is in space, even when you're doing simple things, like if I'm sitting in my driver's seat in my car, and I bend and reach over into the passenger seat to reach for something, I'm now rotating and moving across my body. I can't tell you how many clients I've had tell me that they hurt themselves or they hurt their back bending and twisting. And again, it's because it's this plane of motion that we're not really using. We're not really utilizing very often. And so if we have conscious efforts to take steps towards mastering this plane of motion, this is where these injuries can be easily avoided. And this is where your performance in a sport, even if you're playing recreationally, can be capitalized on. So dividing the body to top and bottom from the pelvis, the transverse plane is a great tool to help you practice disassociation of your hips and ribs. I like to give the example of the body being a snowman. And I learned this example when I took a PRI course a few years ago about if the snowman has three balls, right? Three snowballs. You have your hips, your torso, and your head, right? So those are the three snowballs. If we can get these snowballs to move individually while controlling the other two or the other one, this is where we can have more control over multiplanar movements. If you think of an outfielder that's running for a ball that's potentially a home run, he's going to be running one direction and looking the other direction. So he's thinking about moving his entire body except for his head one way while focusing and trying to track a ball down, right? Another example is like if it's a basketball player that's watching their defender while they're trying to cross them or make a move, they're doing a certain rotational movement with their torso and hips while keeping their head still. So this is something that we can practice and control in the gym environment through cable chops, through anti-rotations, through landmine rotations. I made a video a few weeks back on my Instagram page about the underutilized plane of motion, which I, in my opinion, is the transverse plane. And so this is why, because if we can be in, say, a half-kneeling position and I hand you a rope and I'm asking you to pull from the top all the way past your knee while looking forwards, we're controlling the hips and the head while letting the torso rotate and move in freely. And so this is a great movement that I like to use with my clients to see how well they can rotate and move. If you think about a reciprocal alternating function of the hips and the rib cage, they should be able to rotate when we're walking, right? My right hand will always be walking or swinging with my left leg as I'm walking. And we don't even do that consciously. We're doing that unconsciously. So it's an involuntary movement that our bodies are designed to be able to do well and efficiently. And when we sit for too long, when we don't practice or neglect this plane of motion, if we're practicing too much in, say, the sagittal plane or one of the other planes, then this is where we can lose this ability to be able to rotate so well and efficiently. And so it has enough carryover into something as simple as walking. And so with the transverse plane, I want to talk about working on power output as well. And this is through rotational drills with a med ball. So I love to progress my clients from even just standing still. So if their body is perpendicular to a wall or they're facing laterally towards it, I can have them start with the ball by their hip, and I'm going to ask them to pivot their foot that's furthest from the wall and point it at the wall as they throw this ball against it. So what I'm asking them to do is just get rotation from their hips and get power to push that ball against the wall. And usually I'll tell them, if you break the ball, I'll give you $20, right? So give them something to work towards, give them a motivator to just really try and go all out for this toss. And so this is, again, where we can control variables like, can I have you keep looking at your target with your head while your torso and hips are, say, moving together? Right, that's going to be asking for more of a demand, and they're going to have to be consciously thinking about that while they're letting their body rotate. So again, this goes back to, again, if your goal is even power output or strength development, if you're just trying to lose weight, this is a great way to get your heart rate up quicker, because you're demanding mentally a lot more for your body to perform physically. So if I have to think about more things, I'm naturally going to be exerting more energy because I'm more conscious and aware of what my body is doing and what I'm asking it to do. So as we continue to progress on this, then we can do a step back and then step towards the wall. So now I'm getting momentum, and I'm, again, moving in a frontal plane, going back and stepping forward because I'm stepping laterally, right? I'm perpendicular to the wall. So if I'm stepping laterally and then rotating, now we're getting into this cool, dynamic, multi-planar fashion. And so this is where you can start telling your clients, man, you're looking very athletic. And I have yet to have a client get upset when I tell them that. All of them light up. They all get happy when they hear, man, I'm feeling athletic. I like this. This is a lot of fun. And it makes for a more enjoyable time as a coach. So aside from power output, I also want to talk about stability, because like I was telling you guys earlier, the frontal and transverse plane are helpful with agility, stability, and durability. So with stability, like I was saying, with the joints that we have, like our shoulders and our hips, these are multi-planar joints, meaning that they're able to move in a lot of different directions than, say, our elbows or our knees, which can only flex and extend. And so if we're working on stabilizing the shoulder in, say, a Turkish get-up, now we're trying to make sure that our shoulder is supporting this weight that's being held overhead while we're going from our back all the way up to a standing position. And obviously there's a lot more steps that go into Turkish get-up specifically, but I think you get the idea. A simpler example of that would be, say, a half-kneeling windmill. And so a windmill is when I have, say, my right knee is up and I have my right hand holding a weight. My right hand is going to be holding it overhead, and generally I'm doing this with clients that have already adequate shoulder mobility, or if they don't, I'm having them do this with a block or a 5-pound ball. And really all I'm asking them to do is reach for the floor with their left hand, so they're doing a slight hip hinge pattern while allowing their head of their shoulder to rotate. And so what we're doing is almost kind of like what a waiter does when they're holding a plate full of food or a tray full of plates. As they're walking outwards, they have their elbow fully locked out. They have their arm as close to their ear as they can get it, because they want to make sure none of those plates are going to fall. And it's the same concept here. So I'm asking my clients to continuously watch the weight as they're reaching for the floor. And so this is another example of the transverse plane, because as you're doing a hip hinge, you're also slightly rotating your torso to find the ground and make sure that the head of your shoulder with the weight that's up is being supported. So this can be another example of stabilization. And we can also do this even with mobility drills. So with mobility, For the transverse plane, we can also talk about hip cars or controlled articular rotations. So if I put my clients in a controlled environment, if they're in all fours position, hands and knees are on the ground, and I have them keep their knee flexed and draw a circle with their knee, I'm having them take their femur through a circular motion to be able to go through that range of motion to see where they're at. And this is a great drill that I like to do with my clients to see how well they can stabilize and support the rest of their body while singly isolating this one hip. And this is a challenging drill, and I think that it has a lot of carryover with, again, ability to just control where your hips are and make sure that you can get all parts of your glute to fire and engage when you're kicking your foot back, or excuse me, kicking your knee back out and around. And so look up hip cars if you're not familiar with that term. It's a very good mobility drill, or even just active recovery drill to implement into your training. So to go over the three planes of motion one more time, we have sagittal, up and down, forward and back. We have frontal plane, side to side. And we have transverse plane, which is rotational. So once again, I want to make sure you guys are, again, fully aware that I embrace using the sagittal plane as our meat and potatoes. I am not neglecting that by any means. But what I do want to entertain and offer this idea of applying to your training is finding out where you can fit frontal plane motions into your training. Where can you fit transverse plane into your training? And why I think these planes of motion are beneficial is that you're multiplying the number of tools in your belt to fix any shortcomings in your lifts and keep your progress consistent. And so if I have any shortcomings or anything that is limiting my ability to continue getting stronger, I can also look for accessory movements in the sagittal plane, but if that's not helpful, I can think of looking at the frontal plane to help build, say, my glute minor, which is the upper part of your glute. And we can do that through achieving like a side plank with the clamshell, or a side plank abduction with the legs. You can also do, for frontal plane motion, a Copenhagen plank, which is an awesome way to get the insides of your leg, your adductors, your adductors to fire, which is a group of muscles on the insides of your leg. And with the transverse plane, we can do this through even thoracic rotations. So if I'm on an all fours position and I have one hand behind my head, I can now get that elbow of the hand behind my head to reach for my supporting hand and then rotate up towards the ceiling. So now again, I'm utilizing that rotation to my advantage to be able to get my my torso and my spine to rotate. And again, this is going to be great carryover for not only golf or any rotational sport, but also just to be able to reach for something across the room, across the couch, across your car. And so aside from this, you're able to develop a better mind-muscle connection with your body as it moves through space. Like I was talking about, disassociation of your hips, rib cage, and head. There's a lot of examples of that, and if you follow me or have social media on Instagram, I made a great video of that. And so the last one I want to leave with you guys is that these three planes of motion have tremendous carryover into any sport. If programmed correctly, it builds strength in otherwise lacking areas. It creates better stability and multiplanar joints like your shoulders and your hips. So if any of this made sense to you guys, if any of this resonated with you, please feel free to share this. Give me a like, give me a subscribe, and holla at your boy. I'll see you guys next time. Thanks.